Hi.
Isn't this place great? I was just in the back going, this is a great place. It's good to come here. Anyway, yeah, all right. I like that. As Jimmy said, my name's Jeff Davenport. I'm on the teaching team here. Can I begin, forgive me, with a bit of shameless self-promotion? Okay, here's the deal. I wrote a book, and it's coming out November 11th. And it's what I'm going to teach this morning is from this book. And boy, this feels awkward talking about this. But if you're interested in purchasing said book, you can go to my little website, jeffdav.com, because jeffdavenport.com is taken by some jerk real estate agent in Arizona. And anyway, some publisher decided to actually publish the thing. So it's available. I found out yesterday it's on target.com. I don't know why Target. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, folks. That's right. Get ready, bullseye. But it's on Amazon. And actually, I'm flying to Chicago to record the audiobook, which is weird. Yeah, let's hear it for audio. Isn't this fun? This is the worst. Okay, so there you go. We should pray my shame away. All right, let's pray. Lord, I'm just so grateful for all these people, and I love coming here. They're so kind and generous to me. And I just ask that whatever you got to say for us today, we'd have ears to hear. We just need ears to hear. I pray everybody, myself included, we walk out of these doors today just seeing you differently and getting a better sense of what you're up to. You're good. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to picture a field, a big, giant, vast field. And this field just kind of goes on and on. And there's certain pockets of this field where there's just dirt. Rocks and dirt and not much going on, and maybe some plants are trying to grow but not doing very well. Some weeds over here, and then over here there might be like an apple tree, but the apple tree hasn't done so good, it's in bad shape. And maybe some roses growing up here, and some of them are blooming beautifully, but a lot of them aren't. And it's a field that's in what I would call disrepair. Good things could possibly be starting to grow, but not a whole lot. Now I want you to picture a farmer. And when I picture this farmer, I always picture my grandfather in a younger age. And this guy was tough, and he'd wear a John Deere hat and coveralls. And he is the toughest guy I knew. He could have barbed wire for shoelaces kind of guy. And he's passed by this field, and he stops his old pickup truck and gets out to check out this field. And he is looking at the dirt in the field and the rocks in the field and the stumps in the field, but he's also looking at that tree that might start to be growing there. He looks around. He's scratching his beard and he looks and he starts to get a bit of a twinkle in his eye. And the smile starts to come across his face. And he rushes off and he takes whatever is most valuable to him and he sells it so that he can have what he needs to come back and buy that field. And after he purchases the field, he starts to walk around. He gets a pad of paper and a pencil, and he starts to write out what could grow out here. And he's looking around, he's thinking, over there, corn. There's gonna be unbelievable corn back there. Corn as high as an elephant's eye, like it says in the song, and big old ears of corn, big as a forearm. And over here, I grow wheat, just shimmering, wheat, and more roses over here and carnations and trees of apple trees. We're going to grow big, giant apple trees over here. And he is starting to put together this unbelievable vision of what could grow on that field. But he doesn't end with the vision. He doesn't just go, I have some great ideas. Let's see what happens. He then starts to make a plan. He says, I've got to plan out what needs to happen in order for the good things to grow on this field. So over here, I'm going to need to pull those rocks out and those stumps out. And the weeds have to come out over here. And this one thing has to leave here. And then I've got to plow down here. And I got to do this. And I'm going to make sure the sun's going to hit here. And I know the rains are going to come at this point. And he's planning all this stuff out. And he's writing everything down because he knows nothing good happens by chance. It's going to take some work. And then he starts to do the work. And he goes down, he finds one of these, out in one of the fields where he's going to grow the corn. He sees a big old stump. A tree had once existed there, probably got struck by lightning, felled over, and it's just this big stump. And the stump's tendrils are all reaching down into the ground. He knows, I have to get that out if I want to plant something good. So he gets the axe out, and just like in that movie Shane, that old movie Shane, he starts to cut up that tree stump until he can wrap a chain around it, tie it to the back of his Ford, and pull that thing out finally. And he sees a big rock, a big boulder that's barely sticking up out, but he knows that underneath it's grabbing, it's taking up too much space where something good can be grown. And instead of thinking, well, I'll just grow around it, he says, this thing's got to go. And he digs and digs and digs and then figures out a way to pull that thing out and get it onto a wheelbarrow and get it out of there. And what he realizes, though, is that that rock was covered in minerals, and those minerals have actually, where the hole was, those minerals have seeped into the soil to make it actually a perfect place to grow things. He goes through and he finds every little weed he can find and he pulls it out, but he doesn't just snip the weeds. He digs down, puts his arms and legs into it and pulls them out by the roots. Then he makes the lines in the ground, the furrows in the ground, and then he goes into the barn and he gets these big burlap bags of seed and he marvels at the seed. Seed is so small, and yet it turns into something so big. Tiny apple seeds turn into 100-foot trees, and he plants them in the ground and covers them up. And the rains come, and the sun comes, and he sits on his porch, and he waits, and he waits, and he works some more and waits until the day of harvest, when it's time to gather the wheat. It's time to pick the corn. It's time to get up on the ladder and pull down the apples and clip the roses. And once he's got his harvest, what does he do? He brings everybody he knows over to come and enjoy the good things he's grown on his field. So let's just put this over here for a moment. There are some things in the world that I don't understand. My top three outside of calculus are God, myself, and what God is doing inside of me and my life. God, me, and what God's doing in my life. Now, as a Jesus follower, I'm supposed to go, no, God's doing a bunch of great stuff in me. But if you push me on it, a lot of the times I don't really understand what's going on under the hood, what God's doing in my life. And so I'm often reliant on metaphors to help me better understand what God might be doing. Metaphors, let me just, I'm no eighth grade English teacher, but this is my definition of a metaphor. A metaphor is when you use something that you understand to describe something that you don't. When you use something you might possibly understand to describe something that you don't. Jesus would use metaphors all the time. He would walk around and he'd go, hey, you want to know what a relationship with God is like? And they go, yes, of course. That's an ununderstandable thing. Well, he says, consider a shepherd and how kind and gracious and good and provisional he is for a sheep. That's how God is to you. And boing, the light bulb goes on. Or consider how a good husband loves and cares for his bride. That's how God is towards his Jesus followers. Or consider a widow who has nothing and she's lost a coin and how she'll spend everything to search for that one coin. That's how God is towards anyone who has walked away from him. He wants to bring them back. So God uses the things we have some concept of to describe the things that we don't. A number of years ago, I used to be a college pastor, and we had our gatherings on Tuesday night, and there'd be like 400 college kids who would show up, and I'd have to teach something. And so, as was typical, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, around 4 o'clock, I'm in my office going, I got to come up with something to say. And so I remember one particular Tuesday, I just go, well, I guess I'll start with the Bible. And I'm just like, I don't know, something, maybe something will come out here. And I happened along this little phrase. And we'll get to this phrase in a second. What happened on this little phrase? And I went and taught on that phrase, and it was a metaphor. And it changed the way a group of people kind of thought about God, and it changed the way I've thought about God. And my hope is, I hope I'm providing some metaphor to help you gain a little bit better understanding of what God is doing in your life, okay? So let's jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a book that it's a letter Paul, a Jesus follower, has written to the people of Corinth. They're in they got problems right now. And their problems are kind of funny. Like half of the group has gone, I came to know Jesus through this guy Apollos. And I came to know Jesus through this guy Paul. And so they're fighting like, I'm the Apollo group and I'm the Paul group. And it's so silly. And Paul's going, knock it off, nerds. And so he says this, what after all is Apollos and what's me, Paul? We're just servants through whom he came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each of us his task. Well, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but really, it's God who made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters, they have a purpose, and they'll each be rewarded according to their own labor. And here's the punch. For we're just co-workers in God's service, but you are God's field. You are God's building. And that's the phrase that I loved. You are God's field. When I read that, it was like in The Matrix when they jack that thing into the back of Neo and he goes, I know Kung Fu. It was like suddenly God downloaded to me, what would it look like if you, Jeff, saw me, God, as a farmer and your life as a field? And with that lens, let's just call it that metaphor a lens, it has helped me in my life go, huh, maybe God's trying to grow something new or interesting or good in me like a good farmer. Do you believe that God is a good farmer? And do you believe he wants to grow good things in your life on your field? If you're a Jesus follower, what that means is at some point, so if your life is a field, at some point you looked at Jesus, the great farmer, and you said, I will sell you my land. You can have the rights to my land. When we believe in Jesus, we give lordship to him. That means, God, come and do on this land what you want to do. And just like the farmer sold the thing most valuable to buy the land, God gave up his son so that he could have you. He could have you. And he wants to do good things on your land. Do you believe that you are God's field? Let's say this out loud. If you want to, I encourage you to do this. I am God's field. I am God's field. On the count of three, if you feel like that, let's say this out loud. One, two, three. I am God's field. Okay, now let's try it like we're at a Broncos game. Okay, ready? When they were winning. One, one, two, three. I am God's field. All right, that is good. I need that for myself. I am God's field. And when I say that I am God's field, what that means is I've given God the rights to come and look at my life and grow something good. And like this farmer I was talking about earlier, do you believe that God walks around your life, that a life that you might look at and go, yeah, there might be some good things growing here, but oh, I got some arid areas, and there are some things that can't grow here. And boy, I'd love it if something good, but it's not. And do you believe that there's a God who looks at your life and he gets the glint in his eye and the smile on his face when he starts to imagine the good things he can grow in your life? God, like this farmer, has a vision for each of us. And it's not some big, vague vision, like, be good people, or, oh, it's going to be awesome, life's great. It's more intentional and more unique to each of you than this. Yes, he wants us all to grow into the people we're meant to grow in, but he has something different for you, for you, for you, for you. And he looks at your field and goes, oh, I'm going to grow something unique in you. What does God want to grow in us? Here's the thing. I think God looks at our lives and goes in different seasons and goes, okay, I want to grow this in you right now. Or I want to grow this in you right now. Or I want to grow this in you right now. But I also believe as Jesus followers, there's this funny story about Jesus. He's walking along and somebody stops him and goes, and he just turns around. You know what Jesus turns and asks this woman? He goes, "What do you want from me?" And he's not like, "What do you want from me?" He literally goes, "What do you want from me?" What if you felt like Jesus was saying to you, "Ask me anything. What do you want from me?" And he's not talking about Porsches and season tickets. He's talking about, what good thing would you want me to grow in you? Yes, I think sometimes God goes, "Hey, I have a vision. I have a things that I'm going to plant. And oh, please go along with me." But I think sometimes God goes, "Well, what would you like for Christmas? What good thing would you want grown in your life?" I made a short list here. This list goes on and on forever of things that we could ask God for, that he would grow in our lives so that we would have a better life and the people around us would have good impact in their lives. Here's my little list. Maybe one of these strikes you. Patience, that God would grow patience in you. Kindness, selflessness, self-control, discernment, able to figure out, have a better understanding of what's right and what's wrong. Faith, that's been ripped from my headlines in the last 2 weeks. Evangelism, you read about people in the Bible who are so open with sharing their faith with non-Jesus followers, and you're like, I would like to grow that. I don't have that, I'd like to grow that. Obedience, generosity, here's a hot one. Courage, you see places of faithlessness and you want courage. Focus, maybe you find yourself all over the place. You're like, "God, would you grow focus in me?" A love for yourself. Maybe you've recognized you have this abiding self-hatred and you want to love yourself the way God does. Empathy for others. You'd look at someone else and care about their struggle. And the last one for me is, this is mine, is perseverance. What is it that you would, do you believe that God is so good that he would say, "Hey, what would you like to grow? What do you want me to grow in you?" He's willing, he's a great DJ. He'll take requests. And then he'll set about crafting a plan to grow that thing. God isn't willy-nilly. He doesn't go, "Okay, here you go, boop." And this is, he has an intentional plan for growing something. So I remember a number of years ago, I may have mentioned this before, but it was about 8 or 9 years ago. I was in our old house up in Westminster. I was in this unfinished basement where I had a desk. It was this sad sack thing. I was like, oh man, it's like I worked for Scrooge. It was just kind of cold and in this wet, dank basement. And I remember recognizing something. I recognized that the people around me, the people who I knew who had good things in their life, successful things going on in their lives and their relationships, all this stuff, that they had perseverance. And I recognized that I did not. I gave up at the drop of a hat. If anything got challenging, I went, "Well, I must not be supposed to be doing that, so anyway, let's move on." And I started to realize I needed perseverance in my life. I needed a stick-with-it-ness in my life. And I remember down in that cold, dank basement, looking up at the rafters and going, "God, will you grow perseverance in me? Will you grow perseverance in me?" And 20 seconds later, I had perseverance. That's not the case. I sensed God going, "I'll do that in you, buddy. I will do that in you." And so, okay, all right, I got to trust the farmer. Here's me, the field. God's going to grow something good in me. And I remember a few days later, I'd been working on this creative endeavor that I'd been working on for a while, and I'd given it up, and I felt like God go, "I want you to pick that thing up again." And I went, "Hey, God, no. I want perseverance, so don't worry about that thing. I just need perseverance." And he went, "Trust me, they're connected. And so, will you just work 20 minutes on this? I beat my head against this wall, God, 20, just do 20 minutes. So I do 20 minutes on this thing. God's like, "All right." And the next day, "Hey, I want you to do 30 minutes. "Oh, but I'm done with that thing. It's so frustrating. I'm not good at it. I'm failing at it." Just put 30 minutes in. I remember I put 30 minutes in. And this went on a little bit, not every day, but every few days where I would find myself going back at it. You know what happened sometimes? He'd go, "Just put 25 minutes in." I'd go, "I'm not doing it today." And I would fail. But God, the next day, it says in Scripture, his mercies are new every morning. Somebody needs to hear that today. His mercies are new every morning. The next day, he'd come to me and go, hey, man, let's give it a go, as if I'd never failed at all. And so we'd do that again. And over time, over a long period of time, God has grown in me perseverance. At the time, I had been married for about 5 years. We were on the cusp of having a child. Let me tell you something. If you're married and you're going to be a dad or a mom, you best have some perseverance. You're going to need those things. It's a long game on both of those. And if I didn't have perseverance, who knows what would have happened in my heart or how I would have responded to challenges in relationships. And over this time, and by the way, you never get all the way there, right? But over time, God has built this perseverance in me because I've let the good farmer grow in me what he wanted to grow in me. And it's been good. It's been good for me, and it's been good for my wife, and it's been good for my two little girls, and it's been good for my friendships. God set about answering my prayer, and when I submitted to him, let him do what he wanted to do in my life, good things have grown up. But I had to have a lot of faith, and I had to wait and let the good farmer do what he wanted to do. I mentioned when the farmer sets out to go do something, to grow something good, one of the things he has to do is go and remove things. He's got to pull that stump out and pull those rocks out and pull those weeds out. And I believe when we look at God and go, hey, grow something good in me. I know I need something good for me or for the people around me in me. Will you grow this? Or God, I know you're wanting to grow this in me. Sometimes, and well, I'll say often, God starts with going, then I have to remove some things. I have to take some things out of your life. Will you let me? It's weird, the metaphor breaks down a little, but the field can actually go, that's my rock, or I'm going to hold on to this thing. And we sometimes go, I need to hold, don't take that, I want to hold on to that. And those things that we hold on to, they could fall in a number of categories. One of them, I talked here a few weeks ago about mindsets. We are misaligned in our vision on what truth is. And we go, well, I see things more clearly than God does. And if we just drop that mindset, that stump can come out. I see myself as despicable and a sinner. And God says, that's not how I see you. And if you'll drop that mindset, then I can actually grow something good in there. Or I'm following myself. I know better than any. No. Hey, will you drop that mindset? Will you lose that? Because once we pull that out. And by the way, is it easy to pull those things out? No. Think of that stump with all those roots going deep in the ground. It takes work. Ugh! But when it's out, it's glorious. God's not the God who goes, I'm just going to grow corn around the stump. He says, I want to grow corn where the stump was. That's how he operates. And those rocks, I just think, when I gave this talk to college students, this was the thing that jumped out at me, and I'll say this here. A lot of times those rocks are relationships we have in our lives that aren't producing good things. And it could be a dating relationship, it could be a friendship, but it's something that you've held on to, and you know it's not the best thing. You know it's not the best thing, but it's all I've got, and so I just want to hold. And God looks at us and just goes, can I please remove this rock? And it will be so painful, though. It'll be so painful. He says, no. If you will let me remove this rock, where that rock once was, will be minerals and good things, and something will grow up there that was better than was there before. And God looks around at us and goes, I also want to pull up those weeds, those things that look so small in our lives, but that we've got to have out in order for the good stuff to grow. Because otherwise, Jesus talks about this, those weeds, you know what they do? Oh, they're just weeds. They will choke out the good things God's wanting to grow in us. In our yard, we'd let some weeds grow in this last year, and those weeds just took over the grass. And that's what happens when we don't let God deal with even some of those smaller things. We have to let God deal with that so that then he can plant the seed in us. And Jesus talks about the seed. And the seed, he always says, the seed is the word of God. And what's the word of God? The word of God is just whatever God is communicating to us. It's the truth from Scripture that might come to us through a friend, even just through God's Spirit right inside of us, or it could come through something we hear on a Sunday morning or just while we're reading the Bible, whatever it is. But the seed is the Word of God for us in that moment. And that seed for you might today be, you heard me say something about kindness and you go, gosh, I want God to grow kindness in me. Well, find a Scripture that talks about kindness. They're all in there. And go, God, this is your seed dropped into the ground for me. When I started learning about perseverance, I'm like, I don't even know if that word's in the Bible. Well, it is. And I'd find these verses and it would be my truth. It would be the truth that God was communicating to me about persevering. Someone came up to me last night after the talk. He said, James 1 is all about perseverance. I'm like, I know it is. I know it. I know these scriptures. Because when God was starting to grow perseverance in me, it was important for me to remember that's the seed. When God talks about the seed, the things he's wanting to grow in us, they're tiny things, aren't they? You ever read 5 words in the Bible and it took root in you and those 5 words bloop, in the Bible turned into something massive in you? When the seed starts to grow, good things start to happen. So what can you do in the meantime while this is all going on? God's planted the seed in your life. Maybe God has communicated to you, I want to grow this in you. Or you're sitting here and going, okay, God, I want you to grow this in me. What do you do? Well, number one, do what God asks you to do. Along the way, if he let's say you're saying, gosh, I just want to be more selfless in my marriage. Then listen to him as he communicates things to you like, hey, your wife left that dish out. Well, just don't say a word. You put that dish away. But I have to make a point about that I'm putting the dish away. Not today. It's like training, right? Like God is building things. I think about this a lot lately. It's building skills is really what it is. It's growing in those things. So every time God impresses on your heart something, obey. And if you disobey, it's okay. God's forgiving. Don't give up. That's the thing. Don't give up. And the next time he comes around and goes, now I want you to do this, obey and trust and trust and obey and trust. We have to respond to the things God's communicating to us. Along with that is, again, you have this lens through which you can look at all sorts of things. Anything that passes across your life during that season of growth, you can see it through that lens. So if you're thinking, okay, God, I want you to grow selflessness in me so I can serve and love my wife better, and you're at work, and your boss says, hey, I want you to redo this report, and something's in you like, it's so dumb, and I can't believe I got to do this. You might possibly look at that opportunity to go, huh, if I do this for my boss, it's actually growing even more of that selflessness and I'll do what it takes in me because that will eventually be applied to my wife and my relationship with her. You look at everything that passes your desk and goes, I can see it through the lens of this thing that God's growing in me. I'll be honest, I had a terrible 2 weeks. I was racked with depression and all sorts of terribleness, self-hatred. I mean, just I'm not going to bore you with it, but it was a bad 2 weeks where I just felt like, what is going on here? And I started realizing about midway through, God communicated to me real quietly and real gently, hey, I'm trying to grow faith in you. There you go. Bless you. I felt like God was saying, I'm trying to grow faith in you. And you know what I did? I went, oh, wonderful. No, I went, okay, all right. But he's the good farmer in my life. And then I started to see all these things happen in my life, and I was able to interpret it in terms of, oh, God's wanting to grow faith in me. And I'm looking at my wife going, but I don't feel these things. I don't feel God's love and joy. And I just felt like God going, sometimes you don't feel things with faith. Just push through. Just push through. I'm not on the other side yet, but I see the other side. And in these last 2 weeks, God has grown a nice bumper crop of faith in me. So do what God asks you to do. See things in that lens. And second, you have to wait. You have to be patient. Isn't it funny? We've been showing our girls. We have five-year-old and a 7-year-old, and we've been showing them Little House on the Prairie. We're nerds, and we've been showing them old Little House on the Prairie episodes. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. You know, my family decides one night, you know, we want to have sweet potatoes for dinner. You know what we do? We go to the store and we get sweet potatoes, and we have sweet potatoes for dinner. Little House on the Prairie, they would go, in 9 months, let's have sweet potatoes for dinner. And then Pa would go out and plant sweet potatoes, and they'd eventually get to have sweet potatoes. We don't appreciate the length of time it takes to grow things. Do you know it takes corn 3 months to grow? 3 months. Apple seeds take 6 to 10 years until they produce apples. Kale takes 2 months to turn into a vegetable that tastes like Windex. Thank you. Here's something interesting. Maggie, who works here, she talked to me about this. Bamboo, this is fascinating to me. Bamboo, do you know bamboo takes 3 years just to establish roots? 3 years. Only then does it start to grow up, and when it grows up, it's the fastest growing plant in the world. 35 inches a day, which you're like, all right. If it was a car, it would be going 0.00002 miles an hour. These things take time. I went down a YouTube rabbit hole this week where you're just watching video after video after video. And you know what these videos were? They were videos of, imagine like a glass box with soil in it so you can see through what's going on. And it was time-lapse videos of seeds growing. And these seeds would, you know, they're just sitting there and then crack, whoop, whoop, oh, it's the bananas thing you've ever seen. And then the roots growing out and down, and then eventually. And it's fascinating to watch because you're getting to see the underground view of what happens. And I loved watching those because what it reminds me of is, what does all of this action going on underground look like from on top? It looks like nothing. It looks like absolutely nothing. And I believe us Jesus followers need to remember, when we are down and frustrated and feeling like, God, I don't know if the things that you're growing in me are actually growing in me, that you can rest assured that there are things going on that we cannot see. And I hate this, but I think there's times in my life where those things have been going on underground and I've just given up and stopped watering the plant, stopped letting it have sunshine because clearly nothing's happening, and I've walked away. And I've missed out on, if just a little more patience, we would have seen, as Robert Frost says, that growth shouldering off the earth crumbs and growing up into the thing it's meant to be. When we're patient, when we fall in line with what God has for us, eventually good things start to grow in our lives and the harvest comes. And it's not all at once, but it's bit by bit where we go, oh, God has grown this thing in me. God has grown this thing in me, and it's good for me. And you know who else it's good for? It's good for you. And it's good for you, and it's good for you, and it's good for you. This is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven that God always imagined was this, that he would grow good things in me so it'd be good for me and good for you. And the kingdom of heaven is that God would grow good things in you and they would come up and be good for you, but they would also be good for me. And we would be sharing these things with one another. The kindness God grows in me is good for you, and the kindness that God grows in you is good for me, and the perseverance God grows in me is good for you, and the self-control. And it always just start interacting this way, and we're tied together because we're sharing the food that God grows in us together. I'll end with this. The one thing all of this is really predicated upon is the condition of the soil. And the condition of the soil dictates whether or not the seed will take root and good things will grow. And I believe the condition of the soil, the way the soil has to exist for God to grow the good things, is a condition of trust. And when I say trust in God, I know that's a big high term. Oh, I guess I got to trust God. But I want to break it down into two components. I believe that trust in God requires two beliefs. Belief one is that he is infinitely wise. You have to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God sees things we don't see. When you go, I don't think anything good could grow there, you would side with his wisdom and understand he sees things better than you see things. And his plans are better than your plans. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. And when he sees something, he sees it better than we do. He is infinitely wise. But if you just have this, you only have head trust. You need the other arm, which is that not only do you believe God is infinitely wise, you believe he is completely loving to you. Do you know that the good farmer looks at you, his field, and just says, oh, I love you. So much so that if you never grew anything good, he would still say with just as much passion, oh, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I love you because I love you. Trust in the soil comes down to believing God is infinitely wise and fully loving. And when we have those two things together, we have trust. And when God communicates to us what he's wanting to grow and how he's wanting to grow it in that season of patience and waiting, we'll continue on, continue on, continue on. Longfellow says it like this: let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing. Learn to labor and to wait. We have to wait on God and see what he's doing. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Good. Let's pray. God, thank you for being kind, gracious, and patient with us. I bless you for the places in my life where you've grown something good that wasn't there before. Oh, how good is that? And help all of us to see maybe places in our lives where you have grown good things and we didn't see it. And we would celebrate. Like, even when we sing this song, we would be able to be objective about ourselves and say, God, you've grown something good in me. This isn't pride. This is just me going, you've been good. You've grown something in me. And I ask that everybody here who wants to give up, they wouldn't give up. They trust you're a good farmer. You have good things to grow. And your plans will come to fruition. In Jesus' name, amen.